Every now and then, when I'm walking through the North Woods deep in thought, I'm suddenly startled by a burst of wings and a thunderous explosion, often just inches from my feet. Within a second, I'm over the surprise, but it takes longer to get over the thrill of my close encounter with a ruffed grouse. Every single feather of these exquisite birds is a work of art, and together the feathers provide the bearers with perfect camouflage, rugged insulation, and matchless beauty. Ruffed grouse have a few quiet vocalizations, but the sounds they're most famous for are not vocal at all. That characteristic thunder of wings that startles anyone who gets too close affords them a moment or two of protection against predators. The roaring explosiveness results from the powerful white muscle fibers that compose the bird's breast muscles. The mighty burst when a grouse flushes is short-lived, the wings quickly exhausted. It'll be several minutes before the grouse is again capable of such an effort, until the relatively small blood supply to the muscles washes away the lactic acid that built up in flight. Meanwhile, the grouse lurks on the ground, protected by cryptic coloration. The other sound grouse are famous for is their distinctive drumming sound, which almost sounds as if someone had dropped a bowling ball in the woods. It bounces slowly at first, but speeds up into a whirr. People once believed the sound was produced by the grouse's wingtips beating the drumming log, or that the bird thumped its wings against its breast Tarzan-like. But early one May morning in 1932 in Ithaca, New York, Arthur A. Allen established once and for all how the sound is made. Long before dawn, he hid out near a grouse's drumming log, armed with a slow-motion movie camera and sound recording equipment, and he caught a drumming grouse on film. The stopped frames of the film showed that the grouse stood crosswise on the log, braced on his tail, and cupped his wings, bringing them forward and upward with such force that he compressed a parcel of air between his chest and wings, creating the sound wave without the wings and chest or the wings and log ever touching. The sound is deep, about 40 hertz, which is at the low range of human hearing and slightly below the hearing range of great horned owls. In spring, ruffed grouse males grow territorial and announce their presence to females via this drumming. In fall, some young males spend a few weeks practicing their drumming skills. Until a bird masters the trick of cupping the air properly, he may simply produce a dull flapping sound, but as with many skills, practice makes perfect. By spring, young males may produce as fine a sound as much older males. Females find the drumming sounds irresistible, but don't bond with or maintain any interest in the males after mating. Females do all the nest building, incubating, and raising the dozen or so chicks. Chicks hatch in synchrony and all leave the nest within 24 hours of the first egg hatching. They quickly imprint on their mother, following her everywhere. Once in a while, a chick gets separated from the rest, but its calls and those of its mother usually quickly help them find each other again. In very rare cases, a lost chick may join another female with a brood. Chicks can be independent after about 12 weeks. The largest cause of mortality for ruffed grouse is predation. Among 563 radio-marked grouse with known fates in Wisconsin, 30% were killed by hunters, 46% were taken by hawks and owls, and 20% were killed by small mammals. Their lifespan is less than that of chickadees, which have lived to be over 12 years old. The oldest ruffed grouse on record lived to be only 8.5 years old. Fortunately, grouse do produce lots of babies every year, so as long as we protect plenty of quality habitat and are careful about hunting levels, grouse should endure for the foreseeable future. As Aldo Leopold wrote, "Everyone knows that the autumn landscape in the North Woods is the land plus a red maple plus plus a ruffed grouse. In terms of conventional physics, the grouse represents only a millionth of either the mass or the energy of an acre, yet subtract the grouse and the whole thing is dead. That was Aldo Leopold, and I'm Laura Erickson speaking for the birds.